Blog Talk Radio.
Just lift your worship right there in this moment.
All I have in these hands and multiply. God, all that I am, and find my heart on the altar again. Set me on fire, set me on fire.
Come on, sing.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, brothers and sisters. Welcome to Daily Fire, live on Blog Talk Radio. 15 minutes of hot manna for your soul, taking you from the status quo of your everyday life to glory, to glory, to glory in our Savior, Jesus Christ. I am your host, Evangelist Lossie Williams, here with you live Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time with a new topic, live prayer, altar call, and then ending with assigning our task for today. Our topic for today's Daily Fire is you are responsible for their peace. Glory. You are responsible for their peace. The Brooke, Reagan, and the Caitlin analogy. Today we're going to be in the book of Jude, verses 20 through 23, because as you know, the book of Jude only has one chapter. And while you're getting your Bibles ready, let me remind you to visit our sponsor, churchgirldresses.com, the place where good girls shop, with everything from church wear to casual wear, including jumpsuits, to evening wear, and now even men's wear. We got you covered. The Bible says that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, so there's nothing wrong with being holy and fine at the same time. Make sure you visit churchgirldresses.com. today. While you're getting those Bibles ready, remember as well that you tune in at 7 a.m. with me by calling 323-870-4180. That's 323-870-4180. And I welcome everyone who's tuned in live with me right now. But if you cannot call in at 7, you can hear the recording anytime after 8 a.m. Eastern on my ministry website, feelthefire.com, FeelDFire.com, or even better, follow the Daily Fire podcast by texting the message DF to phone number 33222, so the recording will be text to your phone at 8 a.m. Monday through Friday and available for you to listen as many times as you want, as well as to bless someone else's soul by forwarding the text. If you were unable to write this down, all of this information is on my ministry website, feelthefire.com, as well as my information on my upcoming engagements this month. All right, so visit feelthefire.com. Let's go to Jude, verses 20 through 23. I'm reading from the KJV. But ye, beloved, or beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, glory. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference. And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Ooh, this is so powerful. Come on and give God praise for his word wherever you are right now. What is our topic for today? Say it with me. You are responsible for their peace. The Brooke, Reagan, and the Caitlin analogy. You are responsible for their peace. Last night, my church had this wonderful fellowship, pre-Mother's Day fellowship, where the men cooked including our pastor, cooked and served dinner for the women. And it was just awesome. I had such a great time. Quite frankly, I ended up staying a lot longer than I planned because I needed to get back to doing some work. But truly, as I got into the presence of my brothers and sisters in Christ, my pastor, as I sat there with First Lady Toni Cooper, Mother Cohen, and one of my East Boone Coons, Missionary Carol Ridgeway, we laughed so hard sitting at that table, and then others who were just coming up to us, that I just felt a release. You know, I felt peace. And then when I said I was ready to go, I was about to get in my car, and my pastor called me over because, you know, some of the men, they were out there cooking. They had part of the meal was fish, which I love, and my pastor was deep frying the fish. And so some of the other ladies were out there, and so they called me over because I had not really taken the time to be able to talk with the people who were out there doing the cooking in detail when I arrived because they were cooking the food. And so we started all laughing again. And before I knew it, I think I was there maybe another 40 minutes longer than anticipated because we were just having such a great time. And sometimes you need that even when you don't know you need that. So I got home and I said, I'm going to just lie down for a little bit because I need to get back up at 1:30 a.m., no later than 3, to get some work done. But when I awakened this morning, it was daylight. And I said, what in the world? Because usually my schedule is so hectic that I have an internal clock. Stay with me. I'm going to talk to you about the piece here. That wakes me up at 3 o'clock in the morning. Even I don't even have to set my phone to wake me up. Sometimes, you know, I'll do it, but I don't even have to. I'm going to wake up. But the peace that being in their presence, Jesus, triggered in me and brought upon me was so much of a relief that for the first time, glory, in months, I cannot remember this happening this whole year. I slept straight through. And when I awakened, it was almost time for me to get in here and give you this word, so much so that I awakened, I am not kidding, folks, about 5 minutes, 5 to 10 minutes before this started, you know, and had to do my freshen up right quickly. And I was asking God, what am I going to teach today? Because each day he gives me fresh manna. So as I slept, I'm taking you to this piece. I had this dream. And in the dream, there were two different people whom I'm interceding for, who mean a lot to me, and I'm interceding for them right now. And in the first part of the dream, I was driving one of the persons, and the person started doing what that person usually does, which is to create chaos. Not intentionally, but it's just that person's nature. And then I resolved that, and the next time, the second person was in the car with me. And although, you know, again, I love both of these people, it's just their behaviors and the way they conduct themselves. It will just run you wild. You know anybody like that? Everything about them is chaotic. They're never prepared or whatever. And just to be around them is chaotic, but you love them so much, you still want to be there. Same thing happened. So when I awakened this morning, the first thing that the Lord brought to my attention about that was that I was the driver. Stay with me. I'm going to get you to the Brooke, Reagan, and the Caitlin analysis of this. I was the driver in both situations. In both situations, the people got on my nerves. And I love them deeply, but they got on my nerves in that drink. But they got on my nerves doing what they usually do. In other words, there was no change. There was no reason for me to have expected that they were going to behave any differently. I already know this is who they are. But what was interesting is that in each dream, When the person did what the person usually does, the person then cringed, waiting for or anticipating the verbal onslaught from me regarding how crazy, nonsensical, or stupid what they were doing was. Or how many times do I have to say this to you? They were anticipating it, but in the dream, I caught it this time in my spirit. And in that second, I determined to respond differently. Glory. And it is my response, God was showing me, that changed the outcome. I was responsible, not just for their peace, but for our peace. Isn't this good teaching? So it made me think about my nieces, Brooke, who is the oldest, Reagan, and the Caitlin. Now in Jude 20 through 23, the Bible gave us a distinction that there has to be different ways, or you must use different methodologies in how you communicate with people to obtain the desired end. And the first thing it said is that first you must build yourself up on your most holy faith by doing what? Praying in the Holy Ghost. You first have to intercede, it's telling you, for yourself to deal with people whom you love, who are messy, who are petty, who are always contentious, who are always gossiping, who are always going to bring the toxicity, because they haven't changed. They are going to be who they are. But if you understand the power of the life and the anointing in you as a Christian to effectuate change in the earth, which includes in them, you must understand that the supernatural peace, the end result of peace, the end result of them getting saved, it rests in you. Hallelujah. Isn't this powerful? I'm liberating some of you right now and giving you the methods on how to deal with your children and what's going on and my son. How to deal with issues on your job. They're not going to change. They're going to be who they are. They are who they are. They've shown you who they are, so believe them. But if you want to see growth, you, glory, are responsible for the peace in your home. Yesterday, I taught you about what type of fruit do you bear. If you missed that, go listen to it on the website. And I taught you that you are the tree which brings the oxygen into the room. You bring life. The day before that, I taught you regarding how to deal with people and how to communicate. So today, here we are now. And then it says, with some, you will have compassion to make the difference. In other words, you may speak with them in a soft voice. You may have to cry with them, hold them, pray with them, recycle through their same situations multiple times. But others, it says, you got to save with fear. The situation is so bad that you can't worry about how they're going to feel about it. You just got to reach down into the fires of hell and snatch them back from Satan's grasp. Glory. Now, Brooke is my oldest niece. Extremely smart. Graduated from high school with so many honors and cords, I can't count them. Just graduated last year with her degree in electrical engineering. When she was in college for her first year, I believe it was, she was one of only 43 students across the nation chosen to come to Princeton University to present her academic work and study in the field of electrical engineering. How proud was I as I flew to Princeton, because I'd never been on that Ivy League campus, but to know that I was going to watch my niece, my oldest niece, who looked like a little China doll as a baby, see her now in college presenting before the academia at Princeton University. Then My next niece is Reagan. Well, let me say this. Brooke is very dainty. I mean, super respectful. She's 20-something years old now. I've never heard her raise her voice. She is always respectful. But Brooke has, and I got to hurry up, stay with me, a mathematical mind. Remember I told you she's an electrical engineer. You know, they get into so much math that it just gives me a headache. So Brooke is very logical. My niece, Reagan, is the next oldest niece. Now, Reagan lives in Georgia. Her mother is my sister who's retired military. So unlike with Brooke, where I got to spend a lot more time with Brooke growing up, and remember, as I said, Brooke was the first niece, the first granddaughter for my mom. So, of course, she got a lot of the attention. I didn't get to spend as much time with Reagan because my sister had Reagan while she was in the military, active duty. So they traveled a lot. And then when my sister retired, she retired in Georgia. So most of my exposure to my niece Reagan was once a year on Thanksgiving or Christmas when all of us would come home. We'd bring all our kids home, and that allowed all of those first cousins to grow up together, and so they have a tight bond today because of that. But Reagan is black and white. There are no shades of gray. Stay with me. We're going to end. Give me a few more minutes. Reagan is the kind of person, if you take her to the movie Dumbo, you're not going to be able to sit through that movie and enjoy it, because Reagan will want to know, why did you even bring her to a movie where they have an elephant flying with large ears when it is impossible for an elephant to fly and the ears won't make any difference? That's Reagan. Reagan graduates at the end of this month, and she's going to the Air Force. Then, finally, there is my niece, the Caitlin. Because I only have a son, I don't have a daughter. You know I'm crazy about my nieces. And so then there's my niece, the Caitlin. The Caitlin also is smart like Reagan and Brooke. The Caitlin is in the 12th grade. She will graduate this year in December as opposed to even having to wait to May 2020. Now, the Caitlin, I was able to be around as well with her growing up. And the Caitlin is just so street smart as well. You can just say something to the Caitlin, and it can roll off her back like water like a duck. You know, when I come home, I call her, and the Caitlin is going to show up at my mom's house and stay there with me the whole time I'm there. She's going to come in and do everything she knows is going to elicit some kind of response from me on purpose. She's going to try to put me on Snapchat, but, you know, we crack up. Three different people, all smart, all whom I love, but I have to speak to each of them differently to get my point across. Because when I'm speaking to them, Brooke's analytical mind is not going to change. That's who Brooke is. If you can break it down to her logically, she can accept that. Because math and science, that's who she is, and she loves the Lord. If you are talking to Reagan, you better make sure you can break that argument down into black and white, or you will be there with Reagan for an hour until she can get that answer. With the Caitlin, you can just say it. You don't have to, you know, soften it or anything, and the Caitlin going to respond right back at you, but still respectfully. But I'm responsible, ask her aunt, for our peace. Because I love them so much, and they love me so much, that the tone I use will make the difference as to how they leave my presence. The words I say, the way I build them up, or the way I tear them down, will make the difference as to whether they leave my presence feeling the being the queens they are, high in confidence, ready to take on the world, their validity reinforced, or whether tears well up in their eyes as I'm speaking. I am responsible for our peace, and so are you. We got to get ready to go into prayer, and it's great. So are you. Say, I am responsible for our peace. Let's go into prayer, brothers and sisters. Thank you for bearing with me. Hallelujah. 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 Father, we come today in the name of Jesus. Lord, we give you praise, we give you honor, we give you glory. Father, we thank you for this powerful word, because we've been, some of us have been cycling through the same situations with the people we love, with our husbands or wives, with our children, Father, with our siblings. We're not understanding, why can't they just get it together? Why can't they just change? Why can't they just understand when you are showing us peace rests in us? We're in the driver's seat. We have the ability to come to you in prayer and to build ourselves up so that when they come, we don't have to end the situation in negativity or toxicity with that coworker who is always on our nerves. Always a gossiper, always a backbiter, whom we can't get away with, get away from, because they're on our job, or that boss. We have the ability, before we even walk into the job, to pray and build ourselves up. Hallelujah, my praise. Our most holy faith that you can save them, you can change them, you can deliver them, you can change their nature. And because that is our faith that rests in you, then we will temper our responses, temper our approach based on the person to whom we're speaking, because expanding your kingdom, glory, is most important. That's the priority. Now, Father, I ask you to bless everyone listening right now. Bless them, touch them, heal them, fulfill every need. Help them, Lord, to speak with compassion when it's necessary, to save people from the pits of hell when it's necessary. Sometimes that does include rebuke, reprimand, Father, but even then, to build ourselves up first in our most holy faith. So that we do it in such a way, Father, that delivers the soul without killing the person's spirit or name. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody say, I am responsible for our peace today. Amen. Let's do the altar call, and I'm going to end with the task because our time has run. Thank you for being patient. For those who are not saved, isn't this some good teaching? For those who are backslidden, please repeat after me. Father, I come in Jesus' name. I repent and ask forgiveness of my sin. I ask you to come into my life now and be my Savior. Now, Lord, I confess that I am saved. Now, Lord, I confess that I am rededicated to you. Now, Lord, I confess that I will live out my responsibility for bringing peace. In the name of Jesus, amen. Everyone just give God praise. Just give God praise. Now, our topic for today is I am, or you are, responsible for their peace. The Brooke Reagan and the Caitlin analogy. Your task for today is to go into even more detailed prayer when you get off this message. Call out their names, the people whom you know need, you got to interact with, or whom you love, but they're in chaos. Call their names out and say, I'm responsible for our peace through the power of Jesus. And speak that peace on you, because you're the driver. Now, they're going to come to you today. And they're going to come with chaos, but I've now equipped you to handle it. In the name of Jesus, remember, visit my ministry website, feelthefire.com, for more information and announcements. I'll see you tomorrow. Their peace rests in you. They're cringing, waiting for you to give them the usual response. Change it up today. Save their soul. I love you. Bye-bye.
Just lift your worship right there in this moment.
In these hands and multiply, God, all that I am, and find my heart on the altar again. Set me on fire.